Sorry, people in Buffalo who might be listening to this. Both of you, I apologize profusely.
I don't know what that was, but I'm just going to let us move on.
Because the entire article was the editing error.
Yeah,
the whole
exactly.
thing.
Was the editing error hitting the publish button?
And welcome to Artificial Turf Wars, episode number 58, where our first major league hit was by a pitch. I am your host, Greg Wisniewski, and I am joined tonight by Joshua Howsam. Josh, welcome back.
Thank you. You know, I obviously knew what the tagline was going to be ahead of time, but I still left because I forgot.
It's been that sort of week where a short memory maybe is all for the best. We have news. We have lots of news. I don't know if we have results that you're going to want, but we have news about Danny Barnes and Ryan Tepera. We'll talk about Marco Estrada and a superb start. Jose Bautista. Touch quickly maybe on Devin Travis, Marcus Stroman. These are people for whom we have good things to say. And then we have an injury report, which may be the long part of the podcast if we were to break it up into sections. And then, of course, we have your questions, which we are happy to answer. We have a couple of interesting do-overs, and we'll see what else we have time for. I think that about sums it up, because we're coming off of a 2-3 week. Which I guess we'd be pretty happy with if this was April. 2-3 is not necessarily going to get us there. So that was a win against Atlanta.
Yep.
And then
last game of the series against Baltimore.
Right. There's your two. Hope you enjoyed them. Now, just briefly, is it me or do the Jays just simply look outclassed by Baltimore this year?
I don't know if I'd agree with that. I mean, the games that they've lost to Baltimore have all been really, really close, and a few of them have gone to extra innings.
I don't know. I've lost the faith, my friend. I've lost the faith, I must confess.
That's not the same thing as saying they're outclassed.
Fair. It's my personal bias creeping in. But let's talk about the bright side. Let's talk about the new shift in the bullpen, because Joe Biagini has moseyed his way into the starting rotation, which has gone kind of touch and go for him. Not all bad.
Mostly good. That one start where he gave up the 6 runs in the first inning to Atlanta wasn't so great. But
that's before he got an out, he had given up 6 runs.
Yeah, that wasn't good. He was actually fine after that.
Which is weird, man. How does that work?
I don't know. Baseball's a strange game. And then he was really good. We were recording this on Tuesday during the Jays Brewers game. He was really good for 4 innings, and then it was like single, 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 single. He gave up 3 runs to the Brewers.
Death by 1,000 cuts.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, it happens. So in came to relieve him Danny Barnes, which I guess I was saying maybe he's the new Joe Biagini this season.
Yeah, he actually leads the Blue Jays relievers in ERA. He's down to 2.45. Came in that spot. Well, it was first and second, one out. But then Russell Martin let them steal it to go second and third. Russell Martin is just stopping able to throw runners out, which is baffling. But then he struck out Braun, and then another strikeout to end the inning, and then got another strikeout to start the next inning. He's been really, really excellent.
Have we looked at how he's been doing that?
I mean, not specifically yet, but what he does, I mean, he just has a fastball around 91, 92. He just really paints the corners with it and has a very good changeup. So he gets a lot of swings and misses with the changeup.
And swings and misses in this day and age, you can rack up the strikeouts pretty quick.
Pretty useful out of the bullpen.
Mm-hmm. And then we have, the other side of it, which is Ryan Tepera.
Yeah, this is kind of the fun thing about the Jays bullpen. The leaders in ERA in the bullpen are Danny Barnes, Joe Smith, Aaron Loop, and Ryan Tepera. Joe Smith you might have expected coming into the season. Yeah. The other three, not so much. Tapera has really picked up the ball for the Blue Jays. He's up to 26 innings on the season. And, you know, he's come in some spots where the starter gets hurt or blown out early or whatever and just shut other teams down. He hasn't given up a run in May in 13 innings.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And as much as I do not generally buy into the, well, he's got a lot of confidence narrative, as we've made fun of some of the announcers for talking about Ryan Goins' confidence, I think there is something about that to what Ryan Tapera has said about his confidence, in that he got the ball, was it in St. Louis in the extra inning game? And he threw a lot more strikes. He was nibbling a lot less, and they still weren't hitting it. And sort of since then, he's been willing to do that, to put the ball over the plate and take his chances more instead of, you know, trying to work around the strike zone. And he go ahead.
I was going to read that. I mean, the whole concept of confidence for a pitcher actually really does matter a lot. You know, with Ryan Goins, they just try to say it whenever he has a good game and then pretend that something's happening. You know, he still really sucks. But here's a funny thing. Ryan Tapera's career ERA is 3.12.
That's very good.
It's very, very good. It's baffling. Like, you don't think about that. But he's actually, every time he's come up, been a very effective big leaguer.
He just has options, so he keeps getting put on that shuttle to nowhere. And back again.
Also known as Buffalo.
Sorry, people in Buffalo who might be listening to this. Both of you, I apologize profusely. Oh my goodness. So that's the good news about the bullpen. The bad news, of course, is Jason Grilley, and probably JP Howell, I guess, is still bad news, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, JP Howell just never gets on the mound. It's kind of nuts. I think he's up to 4 2/3 innings on the season. So I mean, Gibbons clearly has no confidence in Howell. He goes to Aaron Loop when there's a left, and they need a lefty out, and when they need another lefter after that, it's Ryan Tapera.
But given how things have gone so far for Howell, I don't really blame John Gibbons. He also has lost confidence in Jason Grilley, which is good because Grilley has some ridiculous home run numbers and still an inability to get people out. I did read your piece. You don't have to promote your piece. I'll promote it. You wrote a piece on BP Toronto. I read it today. Basically, Grilley can't get the ball out of the strike zone when he needs to. So the fastball and the slider are all kind of in the same zone, and neither of them is an out pitch at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, they pretty much summed it up. You took my 700 words and dissolved them into about 20.
Yeah, but I can't prove it with that, with 12 words or whatever.
But that's pretty much it. He's not locating at all and hasn't all season. And, you know, given that he's 40 and he's had issues with his control in the past, there's not necessarily a big hope that he's going to fix it.
Well, yeah. And I mean, if I'm John Gibbons, I don't really have a lot of patience for him with... We still have a 9-man bullpen rolling out there.
Yeah, well, that's because right now, well, we'll get to the injuries in a bit, but there's 3 starting starters in the rotation.
Yeah.
On the club.
So, yeah, you're only carrying half an extra pitcher when you think of it that way, I guess. I don't know how you do that math. But, yeah, certainly you're not looking at the 8th or 9th guy in the pen and going, wow, I got to get him in the game. It's just like he's just going to get lost out there.
Yeah.
So I will move on to Marco Estrada and giving us a reason to not really use the pen so much.
Yeah, I mean, he tied his career high with a 12-strikeout game against Baltimore and just continues, when he's not facing Tampa Bay, to be excellent.
Sometimes a team has your number. Isn't that the way it goes?
Yeah. It's, I don't know, whatever it is, they figured him out somehow, which no one else in the league seems to have been able to do. But he was just absolutely dominant against the Orioles. You know, fastballs up, a ton of fastballs up, and then changeups low and away, and they just look stupid the entire game. And when Marco Estrada was doing that, nobody could hit him.
And I think a team like the Orioles, who are full of big power hitters, I think maybe if they're not able to pick up that changeup, they're pretty much screwed. And you know, that's why you get an incredible number of strikeouts. Just a theory on my part.
Yeah, it certainly fits with what you would expect. And, you know, he's, Estrada has been arguably the Blue Jays' best pitcher and has been for the last 3 years. Considering everything else is going on in the rotation, it's really nice to have that level of consistency in a guy that you can just expect to get things done.
And a guy who, up to this point, has not had any recurrence of any of the health issues he's had in the past, which is super nice, because the problem, of course, with the rotation has not been that they've necessarily been bad. It's that they haven't been able to stay on the mound for very long at all.
Yeah, and it's funny that you say that, too, because he didn't go join Mexico in the World Baseball Classic because he was worried about his back.
You get 5 points, Mr. Estrada, if that avoided a trip to the DL for you, or a slow start or anything else. My points are not redeemable, but I figured I hand them out anyway. So there are other people on this roster for whom things are picking up. We alluded to Devin Travis last week. Devin Travis did set that record for doubles in May, forever eclipsing Fred Lewis.
Yay. Now there's a record there for someone who actually, you know, who has a name in the organization.
So that was cool. He continues. He's got another hit tonight, at least one. I haven't checked the box score lately.
Still one.
So he's got an 8-game hitting streak. So we like that. We also like the king, Jose Bautista, hitting like the kind of guy you would want in the middle of your lineup.
Yeah, so here's Jose Bautista's line for the month of May. 303 batting average, 418 on base, 605 slugging. That's pretty good.
He has an OPS over 1,000 in like a year and a bit for any extended period of time, and there it sits.
Yeah, and it shows up in the underlying metrics too. You know, it's like his exit velocity is up 2.2 miles per hour since April. His swing speed is up 1.9 miles. So he's swinging harder and hitting the ball harder. I mean, those are pretty good things.
Yeah, I mean, if you can swing harder and continue to make contact, awesome. Oh, back to Devin Travis quickly. I looked this up the other day because I was trying to figure out if he was really that exceptional. His WRC plus, which is a rating of his production versus league average in April, was 2, which is 2%.
Really bad.
2% of the average batter in the league. In May, it's 159.
That seems a little bit better.
A 157 point swing in how much better he is compared to the league. That's just silly. You went from like unplayable to one of like the top 30 players in the game. I think it's just weird. So I assume it's going to come back down to earth, you know, somewhere between those two numbers, but still just a wacky kind of thing to have happen. The fact that these horrible numbers happened to so many Blue Jays batters in April really kind of put them in a corner, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, it buried them into a big hole, which they still get to climb out of. I mean, they're still not playing as a 500 team. I mean, they're losing series. They lost a series to Atlanta. They lost a series to Baltimore. And they're not really turning it around.
No, they, as compared to last year, interestingly enough, you would think that the offense was the problem, wouldn't you? Based on everything we've sort of been complaining about, and we don't have Tulo, and we don't have Donaldson, right? The Jays have scored, after 45 games, 3 less runs than last year. They've allowed, I think it's 18 more runs than last year.
Yeah, I mean, well, what's the rotation right now? It's Estrada, Stroman, Biagini,
okay,
Bolsinger.
Who?
And like the shrugging emoji. I mean, they don't have a fifth starter right now.
Oh, it's Wade LeBlanc. Or, given the way we talked about him last year, Matt LeBlanc. You never corrected me. So you're in for that one. So literally, yeah, there's 4 starters on this team. Now, luckily, they don't need that fifth starter until, what, the 30th?
I think that's it, yeah.
But Matt Latos did accept that assignment to Buffalo, didn't he?
Yeah, unless Liriano is back by then, which who knows, then it's probably going to be him or TJ House. It's the we talked in the spring training about how this team doesn't have a sixth starter. Now they're on to like their eighth.
We also, we talked to this team about how the really critical thing was that they didn't lose the third baseman, because the drop off from third baseman Josh Donaldson to anyone else in the organization was just precipitous. Now, I think the funniest thing about that for tonight, anyway, is the drop off is actually to Jose Bautista, which isn't the worst thing ever.
The weird thing is that they put Bautista at third and Coughlin in the outfield.
That I tweeted about it. I'm like, someone pointed out one thing. I'm not a big fielding percentage guy, but Coughlin's fielding percentage at third so far this year is .875.
Yeah, that's not good at all. And I think it was Tao Steve had another interesting thought that they expected to be pinch hitting for Coughlin at some point and then moving Bautista to third. So probably easier just to have him start the game there.
Yeah. And I mean, ultimately, you defer to Bautista, but certainly I know he a couple years ago didn't like coming from the outfield to third base. That makes a lot of sense that, you know, try and give him as many reps at third as possible without forcing him to change his throwing angle and everything else. But I don't know. He's not going to be good at third either. Like, especially not compared to Donaldson.
Yeah.
But what can you do? You don't have a third baseman. There was also another argument I was confronted with, that they're expecting Tulo's return, which will push Goins out to third. For what reason, I don't know.
But Tulo and Donaldson are going to come back at the same time, it sounds like.
Is that where we're at now?
Yeah.
Because last week...
We're both expected back on the weekend.
Last week, we were talking about how Tulo was coming back. Do you remember that part of the podcast?
Yeah, but then they got rain in Dunedin, and then he wasn't traveling across to Port St. Lucie. He just pushed everything back.
Yeah. Does that tell you that they don't think this team is really desperate for help for some reason?
No, I think it's more that they just want to make sure that nothing happens to these two guys, because, you know, if you bring them back two games too early and it costs them another 30 games, you're really screwed.
You're just thinking they can't play him in New Hampshire or something, that they're just leaving him in Florida because that's where the facility is for rehab, and that's it on the face of it?
I think so, yeah.
All right, well, I will not expose any further conspiracy theories.
I don't know what that was, but I'm just going to let us move on.
That was my creepy conspiracy theory guy voice, but apparently you're not a fan. It's fine. It's cool. It's all good. What other injuries do we have to talk about? Have I forgotten about someone?
Yeah, Aaron Sanchez is out again.
Oh, yeah. Well, sorry. I use that gif of the guy jumping out of the spacecraft doing the parachute jump from outer space. You remember that?
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about.
And just splatting into the ground unexpectedly because he's not nearly as high up as you think. I feel like that's Aaron Sanchez's whole season. Like, let's do this. Poof. And you run into another obstacle. God, we were worried about like three or four things at the beginning of the season, right? And Sanchez not putting in 200 innings was certainly on there with other starters, and lo and behold, there we are.
Although with Sanchez, it wasn't that we were worried he was going to get the weirdest freak injury. We just thought that they were going to not push him too hard.
Is this one injury or is this three separate injuries?
I don't know. It's just there's something wrong with the finger on his hand. I mean, let's just leave it at that.
Do we even know which finger it is at this point? Or is that still up in the air?
It's the middle finger on his pitching hand.
How apropos.
Did you just ask that so that I would say it?
I wasn't 100% sure. But, you know, if you're going to put it on a tee like that for me. Yeah.
Martin's back, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, what a relief. Actually, it is a relief, because watching Luke Maley and Olman and I guess those were the two because Solflamakia is technically off the team, but wow, those are, there's a serious lack of anything in the bat there.
Hey, Luke Maley did go back-to-back with Marcus Stroman.
So, as a pitcher, how do you walk back into the clubhouse and look anyone in the eye if the back-to-back home runs you gave up were to Luke Maley and Marcus Stroman?
You don't. Your head is straight, pointed straight down.
Like, my thought was, when I heard Luke Maley went deep, I thought, oh, maybe he finally figured it out. And then I heard that Stroman went deep immediately afterwards. I'm like, what? No, I'm pretty sure the guy just sucked.
A legit oppo bomb, too.
At exit velocity of like 99 miles an hour. That's just some good luck.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, congratulations to Stroman. I figure, oh, the injury train. We should talk about Darryl Siciliani.
Oh, that was unfortunate.
He looked fantastic. Right up until his arm fell off.
On a home run.
Yes. Like, literally, right up until the second his arm fell off, he looked great. He was in a groove. Yeah. And then he came up literally grabbing his shoulder on the way to first base. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Yeah. Yeah, that same game that we're talking about. And by the way, the pitcher that these were all hit off is Julio Teheran, who's actually really good.
Not at home this year, is what it seems to have added up to.
And all those pitches that were hit out were terrible pitches. Well, the one to Siciliani wasn't that bad, but the ones to Maley and Stroman were awful. But it's just funny that, like, that's who they hit him off.
Whatever works. They needed to come out of Atlanta with a little bit of pride. So that was their pride, beating up on Teheran. Okay, that was the last injury, I think, finally. Did we get to the end of the injury train?
I hope so.
I assume that means it's time to take some questions, yes?
Seems reasonable.
All right.
Time now to hear from our listeners.
That just seems silly.
Here are the rules. First, I ask a question, then you ask a question.
Now, how does that sound, sweetheart?
Could you repeat the question, please?
Maybe. Maybe we could. Maybe we couldn't. I tend to only ask the question once, though. All right. What do we got?
This first one comes from Brendan Panikkar. Is there a situation where the Blue Jays decide to DFA a bullpen arm when guys get healthy? Is it Jason Grilley and J.P. Howell? Oh, if there is a situation, sorry.
I would assume Grilley is the big DFA target because he's not, like, this year is his last year, right? So they're only eating $2 million to DFA him. Did they sign Howell for more than 1 year?
No, they're both 1 year deals.
Oh, well, and I don't know. Whoever didn't say hi to John Gibbons in the clubhouse that day may get DFA'd.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them sending Dominic Leone down to the minors if they just need a spot. But yeah, if it becomes an actual 40-man roster issue, I think Grilley's going to go.
They're just hanging on until they give away that apron. You know,
we talked about this last week.
Game ops is in there going,
I hope they, okay, if he gets DFA'd, I hope it's like the day before.
Oh, you're a horrible human being. You know, there's some dude at Rogers Center on the phone going, okay, we have 386 grilled cheese sandwiches left. So, you know, by the end of the next
hold on for a little bit. Yeah.
Not going to be a real popular item after that. Next question. Quinn comes in with a video. On a scale of 1 to 10, how accurate is my and my brother's impression of Ezekiel Carrera? Now, it's a 9-second video, and the angle is not, you know, 100%, but his brother does come in with great confidence and miss the baseball. However, he doesn't end up on his stomach splayed out with grass stains all up and down his...
But the minigame, he picked up the ball and throws it 20 feet over the cutoff man.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, so...
I mean, when so you've got two things that are very much Zeke, but one missing element. I think that's like a 7 or an 8.
I agree, a 7. I think it's a strong 7. Maybe 7.5.
Yeah. All right.
If you want to send us your Ezequiel Carrera impression, and you do your own laundry, yeah, go right ahead. We're accepting submissions. Oh goodness. So Sam the Barfly at Jacob A. Bader asks, why isn't Roy Halladay on the level of excellence yet? Are there any other current or recent Blue Jays that should be up there?
You go first.
I would assume it's because they have just been waiting to set up a time where they can get the most bang for their buck out of the ceremony. I can't see Roy Halladay not going on the level of excellence. Right?
He's 100% going to be the next guy up there.
Why do you think they're waiting?
Well, who knows? It could just be about working out a thing. He's currently working for, I think it's the Phillies, so it might just be a time when they're just both, maybe there's, you know, an emptiness in their giveaway schedule or the promotion schedule, and he's available. There's a lot of things that go into this. It took a long time for it to happen with Alomar, too. It's just behind the scenes stuff, but it will happen. 100% that he's going to be up there.
Mm-hmm.
As for other people that belong up there that are like not active players, I can't really think of anybody.
So we're basically looking, who was the last person to go on the level of excellence?
I think it was Delgado.
Okay, makes sense. So Delgado retired 2007, 2008, somewhere in there?
Something like that.
So you're looking at people who played for the Blue Jays between 2008 and probably like 2012 or 2013. So I guess
Delgado would have played a lot longer than that because he was just on the Hall of Fame ballot.
Okay. So so he left the Blue Jays maybe 2004, 2006. So he would have retired in 2013 for Delgado or 2012.
Early 2010s.
So your argument, I guess, is for Vernon Wells. If you're looking for someone in that era.
Yeah, actually, that's a good one. I think he probably will go up.
Just because if you look on all of... Again, the longevity helps any player for that level of excellence thing because they never made the playoffs in that period. So you're not really looking at a guy who, you know, made a big mark like Bautista did in the playoffs. Vernon Wells is the guy everybody has to pass when they're hitting all of the milestones as they go up the Blue Jays rankings before they get to Carlos Delgado.
Yeah. No, that's right. I don't know how I... How do you forget Vernon Wells as a Blue Jays fan? But he's the guy. I think he will get up there at some point.
All right, so there's our vote. You got a last question for me, or more than one?
From Connor Moore at the Seahound. Why are some whiny baby fan bases enraged when a stranger tosses a piece of wood after hitting a ball with it?
I like your delivery on that question. I also like the phrasing. Phrasing is excellent on that question. I really don't know the answer to that. Why are some whiny baby fan bases obsessed with celebrating a punch over an actual on the field accomplishment? What is that? It's not even hockey, where a punch is sort of part of the flow of the game, I would think. Very weird.
Sort of. Yeah, it's... people just have weird hang-ups. It's kind of the way to put it.
The worst thing ever to me is act like you've been there. Why should I act like I've been there? I've never been there.
Good point.
Why should I be faking that? There's no reason for me to be faking that at all. I genuinely have feelings about what's happening, and you know, maybe they're just a personal feeling about I finally got the pitch that I wanted and I hit it over the fence, and it's not contextual in the game. I think there's a lot of people who are not that way now. I think that change has already occurred at one level, and it's a very slow process to have the announcers catch up to what might actually be going on with fans of the team. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, seems reasonable.
What else did we have? Do we have any more? That's the last question?
That's it.
We should have asked earlier, shouldn't we?
Yeah, that was my bad.
Next week. next week we're going to go. Well, if we've moved on from questions, then...
I said the quiet part loud and the loud part quiet.
But what if you could do it all over again?
But what I really meant was...
Well, we're going to hand it... I'll let you go first.
The first one has to go to Deadspin. This is the stupidest. So the Braves threw at Jose Bautista in their last game of their series because Freddie Freeman got injured by an Aaron Loop fastball, and they got hit 7 times in the series. Stupid things, but they did it. So Deadspin puts up this thing. Tyler Flowers pointed directly at Jose Bautista to order his plunking. And they show a gif of Tyler Flowers pointing with his index finger towards the inside. He's just calling for an inside fastball.
So there were a lot of questions for the person who tweeted that, or put that as an article even. Not even tweeted it. The first question was, have you ever watched baseball?
That was a very common reply in the Twitter.
Phil Hughes got in on the act on Twitter. Did you see that?
No, I missed that one.
Yeah, Phil Hughes, he's like, that's just an inside fastball, but okay. Whatevs.
But then they doubled down. This is the best part. So after getting called out by literally everybody who read it, they put up a thing. It's like, due to an editing error, this was incorrectly listed as, there's no editing error, they were just wrong.
It was the entire article was the editing error.
Yeah,
the whole
exactly.
thing
was the editing error hitting the publish button.
Like, the article only said one thing.
That was the headline of the article.
Due to our headline and concept being incorrect, we regret the error. Yeah, and then they left it up. They didn't even pull the post. They just
the
like
the tweet
yeah.
is still up.
Oh my god, people! Like, if you can't do over, at least undo.
Right. We'd accept it here.
Just fine. You don't even have to do over. You could just explain. We assigned a non-baseball person to the baseball desk for a couple of hours, and he got a little excited. And thought he found something, but what he found was how to call for an inside pitch. As a note, I do find it interesting that often the camera will go to the catcher calling for a pitch. And if my wife and I are watching, she doesn't pay a lot of attention to these things. And often I will go to her, it's a curveball or it's a slider. And occasionally she turns to me, she's like, how did you know that? I'm like, it's a changeup because he winkled his fingers. That's the changeup symbol. Watch the catcher. But announcers don't talk about that.
No, they don't.
Like it's some big secret.
What's really funny is that announcers, like, they can see that too. And then they'll be like, they'll still get the pitch wrong. It's like, why aren't you looking at it?
You played the game 99%
like, Brock,
of the time.
You were a catcher. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. You'll see the thumb up and it'll be like, oh, looks like it. Oh, he pitched out.
Or he threw first, over.
Yeah.
On
it's like, yeah. It's like, oh my goodness. Like, yeah, that's what that means. Or they'll miss the announcers will also miss the up gesture from the catcher that catcher. Means I want you to miss up out of the zone. Like, I'm like, how do you miss that? It's
yeah, this guy's like turning his hand over and like flipping his fingers all up.
It's not a subtle little gesture between the legs at that point. Yeah, weird stuff. The second do-over is the minor league team, the Frisco Rough Riders, on May 21st had an event called Take Meow to the Ball Game. Now, I can only assume that this was a result of someone coming up with the clever pun, Take Meow. Ha, oh, that's hilarious. You know what? We should let people bring their cats to the ballpark. Okay. I understand you want to be equal opportunity in that dog owners often have dog days at the ballpark and you're allowed to bring your dog. Which makes sense to me. I'm neither a dog nor a cat person. I don't really have either of them, so I'm not trying to slag on anybody here. But I know. Dogs are community animals that like to get together. Cats are territorial hunters that get stressed when any other cat is in their territory.
Makes sense.
So let's bring your cat to a completely unknown neutral ground where there are potentially dozens of other cats and force them to spend time together.
All in one little enclosed area in center field, too.
On a leash. Because so many cats like going out on a leash. I mean, I see people out walking the cat all the time. What? And their justification at the bottom of the promo here on Baseball America, I don't know if that's the official line, but it's cats have nine lives, baseball games have nine innings. Sounds like a perfect match, right? At one cat death per inning if they're fighting. You have no cats left by the end of the game. Who came up with that, really?
So, well, I think it was the Frisco Rough Riders PR department.
Somebody's making up the poster going, oh, yeah, I'm sure this will be fine. Maybe I should point out to them that they're not social animals, that that's not how it works for cats. Oh, my God. Okay, well, apparently it did go off relatively trouble-free. Although, I don't know that happy was the way the cats were. Also, all cats got a free bandana, which I know, as a cat, is a high-priority item to go home with.
This is by far the longest we've talked about cats on this podcast.
It just makes so little sense, I must confess.
Yep.
Are you ready for a quick stump to Josh?
Oh, we are doing it? Okay.
Oh, yeah, we're doing it.
Stump the Josh.
No, it's Josh.
Oh, that's a bad guy. You don't want to fool with him.
So this was a submission on Twitter from a longtime podcast listener, Alex Hume. Alex at ahume92 says, which former Blue Jay sprained his ankle rounding the bases after a home run? I won't give you the year because that's going to be one of your clues.
Former Blue Jay sprained his ankle rounding a home run?
Yep. Apparently, it's not Stump the Josh. It's wacky injury trivia with Greg and Josh.
That seems to be the case.
Yeah. So if you have a Stump the Josh question that isn't directly injury related, we're all for those too. Someone sprained.
Yeah, I definitely need a clue. I don't know.
So the year is 2005 when he sprained his ankle.
2005, huh? Okay. Yeah, that's not enough of a clue. That just a lot of people played in 2005.
Yeah, Blue Jays infielder with a nickname.
Orlando Hudson?
Yes.
I don't remember that at all.
I bet you Orlando Hudson does. So you were semi-stumped.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really tough question. I mean, it's memorable for guys like Coglin and Morales because they were out for a year and a half.
Yeah,
and
I don't
think walk-offs.
The sprain, probably not so much. But you specialize in the obscure question, so we're gonna keep bringing them at you.
Like it. It's like years from now, which player separated his shoulder hitting a home run for the Blue Jays?
No, I don't want Daryl Siciliani injury trivia. Ever. Just ever. I think we have covered another week in the life of this bit of a sad sack team, as it were. I will take my final thought first, which is pretty much the same final thought I've had, I think, going on as a theme here. As it stands now, if we don't have to talk about the Blue Jays and their playoff potential until they're at 500... I already know we're not talking about that next week. Still. Okay. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, we got close the week before, but then they went and lost 3 out of 4 in Atlanta. I didn't have to worry about talking about the Blue Jays in playoffs anymore. Do you have a final thought, Josh?
I do. So we didn't mention this at the top, but Anthony Alford has been called up to the big league roster. Seemed like it was going to be just a one-day thing, but they decided to keep him around. And he got his first major league hit today while we were recording this. Just a double off the center field wall. I want to talk about this because I've had the chance to talk to Anthony Alford. I did an interview with him once. And then every time I go into the clubhouse, if he sees me, he says, "Hey, how's it going?" He's just the nicest guy I have ever met at the ballpark, and I could not be happier for him.
And it's pretty awesome. When did you hear what he thought when he was told by his manager that he got called up?
That he was going to AAA?
Yes. That is the coolest. It's like, oh man, I'm going from AA to AAA. No, you're going to the show. What? Really?
Couldn't happen to a better guy. I love it.
I do have one quick question about that.
Sure.
I thought the reason that they called him up was to play center field.
For that one game while Pilar was out.
And they put him in.
But we didn't even talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even think that can fit into a final thought.
No, I mean, just here's your final thought. Go read the two pieces on our site about that because they cover it beautifully.
I am 100% in favor of that. Gavin Pillar is living one down, and rightly so.
Yeah.
Okay. On that note, you have been Joshua Housam at Joshua Housam, and I have been Greg Wisniewski at Coolhead2010, and this has been Artificial Turf Wars episode number 58, and we will see you next week.